Hey everybody, it's time for the Toy of the Week podcast, Entertainment Earth. It's March 12th, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Paulus, here to talk to you about the most amazing thing! Except this week it's not really a toy, and it's not really of the week, it's more of a retrospective. Because this week, I was handed the final issue of the ongoing Knights of the Old Republic Star Wars comic book series from Dark Horse. It ran 50 issues, plus a couple of side issues. I believe there was a zero. There might have been a one half. I don't remember for sure off the top of my head, but it did have a very nice run. The story isn't necessarily tied directly to the Knights of the Old Republic video game series. It's actually, this comic series, the Tales of the Jedi comic book series from the 1990s, and the KOTOR video games all take place around the same time, give or take a couple of years. So they each influence each other a great deal, and this particular comic book was actually greatly influenced by that series because it introduced some of the same Mandalorians. Exar Kun's lightsaber shows up near the end. A lot of other events are mentioned. One of the main characters in Knights of the Old Republic is revealed to be a descendant of a character from the previous series of Tales of the Jedi comics, which is pretty cool. And it's not bad. Issue number 50 brings it to a pretty abrupt end, because the way this series was developed, it was a bunch of little adventures. It started off as kind of a riff on The Fugitive, in that you have a Jedi Padawan named Zane Carrick, who is innocent of any wrongdoing, but is accused of a group of Jedi Masters of having killed a bunch of Padawans, and he didn't do it. So he's on the run, and they're all out to get him. And the first half of the series is pretty much based on this. Is he going to get away? Does everyone think he's guilty? Does the Republic still see him as a villain, a traitor, a bad guy? And along the way, he meets Griff, who's a Snivian, like Snaggletooth from the original toy line, who's kind of a con man, a number of thugs and cons, some friends, some warriors, Mandalorians. Some Mandalorians are not who you thought they were. And all kinds of weird stuff. Sith wannabes, ghoulish mutants. It's a pretty good ongoing comic series, except for the fact that it doesn't really reference Star Wars in the sense that most likely you would know it. If all you know is the movies, and even the cartoons, there's really not much for you beyond lightsabers and the giant slugs from the asteroids in The Empire Strikes Back, which eventually show up. Everything else is from other areas in the expanded universe. And this series was also part of a big crossover called Vector, which started in Knights of the Old Republic and continued along in Dark Times, Rebellion, and the Legacy series of Star Wars comic books. So, on the whole, the series is pretty nicely contained. There's a number of trade paperbacks and individual issues, and I think you might dig it if you want to look at the very early history of Star Wars, because it takes place thousands of years before Phantom Menace, and you get a look at a different era of Jedi with different morals and different motivations, and the main Jedi character, Zane Carrick, isn't really much of a Jedi. The most disappointing thing about the series is it didn't really get the treatment we all hoped it would as action figures, which is to say it really didn't get much of anything. It kind of sucked in that sense, because the main Jedi hero actually has a really striking design with cool gauntlets and jackets, and he just looked neat. And he had a yellow lightsaber, which was inspired by the original Kenner Luke Skywalker figure, which I thought was a really nice touch. Griff, his hairy sidekick, was a pretty cool-looking dude, and there were a number of great Mandalorians, including Roland Dyer, who had one of the best comic book designs of any action figure I've ever seen, and it looks like we're never going to get him as a figure, because the toy gods do not like us, unfortunately. The Star Wars comic pack line got axed, and a lot of figures got, fair way into development, and it looks like they're not going to come out, unfortunately. So, if Hasbro ever does another Fans Choice contest, go read the series, and then go vote for Roland Dyer, just because you should. He's a cool-looking dude, and there's other, mad Mandalorian scientists in this series, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a shame it ended, but 50 issues is pretty good, and unlike other Star Wars comics, which I won't name, this one really didn't miss a lot of its deadlines. It came out on time on a regular basis, which is greatly appreciated over the past 5 years. So check it out if you can. And you probably can. You can order trade paperbacks from Most Entertainment Earth and a lot of the individual issues still. And unfortunately, that's it. The last panel says, instead of the end, a new beginning. But there's not going to be a new beginning because this era is being left. And they're moving on to another era in Star Wars that takes place 1,000 years before the prequels. So I guess that's nice. But we had a good run. It was a nice series. And I would say, even if you don't know anything about the Knights of the Old Republic video games, because I've never played them, but I enjoyed this series a lot. And it reads more like a RPG from the 1990s than it does a typical Star Wars comic book. So give it a try. Anyway, that's it. I'm Adam Paulus. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/entearth. And I will see you in the future, I assume. Maybe in the past. I don't know how linear the time is where you are.